following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday edition. Hope your weekend went well. A lot of things going on out there. You got the crossover when it comes to the sports season. Winter sports have begun. A little basketball and wrestling out there going on over the weekend to coincide with football and volleyball and soccer and hockey. And it's all going on. The Breeders' Cup wrapped up. The Huskers wasn't pretty, and you know, as I told a couple of the guys, Dirk Chatlin's going to join us here in our next segment from the Omaha World Herald, high school football playoffs. We're going to talk with Kearney Catholic's Dave Colling. They may have had the most exciting playoff game of all of them on Friday with an overtime win against Boys Town with an unusual ending or ending to regulation where you just don't see it very often. Boys Town stopped playing football and allowed Kearney Catholic to score so that they would have an opportunity. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. You take a look, Jimmy, I said 3 weeks ago, I think Purdue's going to end up being the trap game. But even when you watch it, it's ugly, and you think it could be ugly, you still don't think, eh. And Nebraska wins by 21. This is a case where last week Rutgers scored late. The game wasn't as close as the score. Here, Nebraska scores late. It should have, you know, it's a 14-point game. But when you get that shock to your system and Amir Abdullah is not available to you, Nebraska didn't respond very well in that contest. And they found a way to win, and that's all you can ask right now. But Nebraska is kind of spinning. Wisconsin's looking really good as they get ready. And obviously the big question will be, will Amir Abdullah be ready to go against Wisconsin? And will he be 100% the rest of the way this season?
Yeah, a lot of good points there, Doug. You know, I think one thing, Nebraska's schedule was very kind to him the last 2 weeks. I mean, Doug, I was working with a guy this week, and he made a comment, and it's kind of true. Look at Kansas in the Big 12. And what kind of a chance they have to beat anybody when they're playing in the Big 12. Yeah, they might get an Iowa State or a Texas, but they can't compete with that level. And Purdue's trying to compete at that level. But, you know, there's somebody that gets a bunch of breaks and still it's 35-14. I'll tell you what, I don't know if you watched the Mississippi-Auburn game.
Yep.
And the bullets that Auburn dodged. You know, I mean, you're talking about, hey, when you recover two fumbles – on first down, you know what I mean, and you get him inside the last 3 minutes of a game, you have to feel extremely fortunate to win. Now, Nebraska didn't have to feel extremely fortunate to win their game. I don't know if I've ever seen a game quite like that where they had two turnovers that way in the Mississippi-Auburn game like that. I've seen plenty of football games, and I've seen interceptions, but I've never seen things that kind of happen that way where you didn't really make a play. It just happened to be somebody broke their leg and ended up losing a football, you know, or a quarterback's trying to get an extra yard and didn't secure it very well. Those things happen, but I just thought Auburn was extremely fortunate to win the game. And if anybody tries to say it different to me, I mean, I would adamantly say that they're incorrect, that they've just bet Auburn, you know, or they're an Auburn football fan. But Mississippi really was unfortunate to lose that game, and Auburn was extremely lucky. And if you look back at Auburn, how many games they've won, You know, they had a game where somebody threw a Hail Mary pass and it ricocheted off somebody's helmet and the guy caught it. And then you had the 109-yard field goal return. I mean, you look at Auburn, what's happened to them lately. Boy, are they, of all the teams in the nation, what they've been able to accomplish. And, you know, they keep themselves in the game, but they've been really fortunate. Your take on that?
I must have missed something there because I thought we were talking about Nebraska and then you went to Auburn, Mississippi. Was there?
Well, I was talking
there,
about.
Was there something I missed there?
Yeah, what I
you lost me, my friend.
What I lost on was the fact that if we say you made the comment, well, we just took care of business and we did what we needed to do. Well, I don't know if that's the case. We played Purdue. We didn't play Mississippi, Auburn. This group, we're playing people that maybe aren't even a Division I football. I talked about Kansas and the inability for them to win a game. Purdue can't beat anybody. I mean, you
know, that's what Tommy Armstrong said. He said, if we play like this, we're not going to beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We're not going to beat Iowa on the road.
I guess that was my point, was the fact that we got to look at who we play and then go, hey, you know, well, we took care of business this week. I don't know if that's the case.
But it's you get into that coach speak, too, you know, where Nick Saban was upset that people were upset that they only beat Arkansas 14-13.
Yeah, and they're a good team.
Arkansas?
Yeah, they played Mississippi State and it was 10-10. I mean, Arkansas is not bad.
Well, I think that's where we get in. That's what makes all of this interesting.
Yeah.
Sports talk, commentary in the paper, all those blogs. Minnesota was ranked. And Michigan State played Purdue. I mean, you look at this. Minnesota was ranked. Purdue lost to them by one, and they played Michigan State right down to the wire. So I don't know. Yeah, Purdue hasn't been good lately, but it's not like they've been getting beat by 30. It's so hard to compare. I mean, Nebraska beat them worse than Michigan State did.
Yeah, and I guess Northwestern.
Without a mirror.
Northwestern beat Wisconsin. You know, so I mean, I can look
at some, each week. It's
I just look at, you know, show me a game where a Big Ten team beat somebody out of the league that was a heck of a game. I mean, I saw the Ohio State game against Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just don't see our conference being as good. I'm just really disappointed in how good the Big Ten is right now. I just don't think we're a very good league. I guess that's my point. And when we play a Purdue at home and we struggle with them, you know, and it's 28-14 in the fourth quarter, I'm just saying, whoa, you know, we've really, you know, we're not going the correct direction. And when compared to the Mississippis and the Auburns, I mean, I think those people are getting better and every
but
week.
Yeah,
Look at West Virginia and TCU. I mean, what a football game.
Well, look at Mississippi State, Arkansas. People are going to sit here today and tell me Mississippi State's the best team in the country? I had people yesterday say, how can you vote for Florida State as the number one team in the country?
Okay, Arkansas loses to Alabama 14-13, and they lose to Mississippi State 17-10. You know, I don't think Arkansas is bad. You know, Arkansas goes in, and I think...
Because they're in the SEC?
Well, they played Texas A&M. What was the score of the game?
Yeah, but because they're in the SEC, I mean, is that they're 4-5? They're 0-5 in the conference. Their four wins.
Go ahead.
Their four wins are against Nicholls State,
okay.
Texas Tech, Northern Illinois, and Alabama Birmingham.
Okay, and Northern Illinois, how did they do against the Big Ten teams?
I don't know. When did they play Big Ten teams? This year or previous years?
This year'd be all right.
I've lost you to an SEC homer.
Oh,
people are already hating ESPN because they think they're homers. But
I really think the Southeastern Conference is better than the Big Ten. I mean, without a doubt, the Southeastern Conference. Now, I have what vested interest? I've never been to Alabama. I've never been to any of those states in my life. But I just think that conference right now is playing quite a bit better than the Big Ten is. The Big Ten every week, Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, their schedules, unless they play each other, very seldom does anybody step up and play them very well.
Well,
I just don't see, you know, Minnesota goes to TCU and gets beat 30-7. You know, I mean, that game alone is just to me. So when my point was when you're talking about Purdue and I look at, okay, I'm saying Kansas is the same way. Vanderbilt's not having a very good year. They're in the Southeastern Conference. I'll give you Vanderbilt as being a poor team.
Yeah.
You know, Florida beats Georgia. How'd you like to take care of those three games? You got Georgia, Missouri, and
that
Florida.
That was disappointing.
Georgia, Missouri, and Florida. Okay, and Florida can step up and beat a Georgia. you know, and what place are they in? And you look at a Florida and it beats Georgia, and they are probably, what, eighth in that conference? You know, Florida, I don't know, was that their first win?
But Minnesota stepped up and beat somebody in the Big Ten. I just think, again, because somebody can beat somebody in the SEC, the thing about the SEC, Jimmy, is you've had enough teams now circle through over the last decade. I mean, what about South Carolina? They're preseason top 10. Where are they? You know, I think you can take the argument on both sides. I'm not disputing that the SEC is probably the best conference in the country. But as I've said earlier this year, how good are they this year? Is the parity because the Alabamas and the South Carolinas and Florida have taken a little bit of a step back, which has allowed up-and-coming programs like Mississippi and Mississippi State, and Mississippi had the number one recruiting class here a couple of years. I mean, so you expected them to gain a little ground. Or is it because those other teams are still elite and your Mississippi and Mississippi State are now elite? When you win at home 17-10 over Arkansas, you are not elite. That's my opinion. Arkansas is 0-5 in the conference. They've played two close games. They lost. And that's what the coaches keep saying. The point, and Saban said, the point is to win the game. When Nebraska beat McNeese State, who's not on the same level, they won the game. When they beat Rutgers, they were unhappy, but they won the game. They played terrible against Michigan State in the first half and still almost won the game. Iowa would definitely like to have won another game or two in here because they have been upset. It just seems like when you're in the SEC, outside of this Florida-Georgia thing, how many of them are looked at as upsets? They're just looked at as, well, an SEC team beat another SEC team, and now we're going to go play Presbyterian. You know, so you think three of the four should be in the playoff if it was today? Is that?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think Mississippi.
No, it's not going to happen.
I think Mississippi State's the only team that can go in there without winning the Southeastern Conference. I think if Mississippi State loses one game, Mississippi State's got to play. I believe Mississippi State has to play Alabama. And they have to play Mississippi, you know, those two schools. They have to play Alabama and Mississippi. And I think if they lose one game and don't get in the playoffs, I mean, I'm talking about the Southeastern Conference Championship game. If they don't get in, they just have one loss, I think they could get in. I think they're only going to take Oregon out of the Pac-10. If anybody else wins the Pac-10 or Pac-12, if anybody else wins that, I think Oregon's the only team they'll take. I don't think they'll take anybody than Oregon. I think in the Big 12, they're either going to take Baylor or TCU. If those two don't win it, Kansas State, Baylor, TCU, if they might take one of those, but they're not going to take two.
Oh, no.
You know, I think if Wisconsin would happen to win the Big 10, if they would beat Nebraska, then beat Michigan State, Ohio State, they're not going to take Wisconsin. There's no way they're going to take them. So they're going to be out. And then I think Mississippi State will be the first team in without winning the Southeastern Conference. But I think the Southeastern Conference winner will get in.
Kansas State's going to be a very interesting because now that West Virginia has been playing some pretty good football, they go to TCU, they go to West Virginia, they go to Baylor. They only have one home game left. So Kansas State, if they win all those, they've got to be in.
Oh,
they've got to be in. If they win all of those games, they have got to be in. And that's not what I'm hearing nationally from the media right now. Is who's the best one-loss team? Well, let's see what's in front of us because that's what's going to determine who gets in. You've got to take Kansas State if they run the table with a one-loss team.
Well, I look at that schedule, at Kansas State's schedule, and I think what a great schedule that is. And also Oklahoma schedule, TCU schedule, Baylor schedule, the people that they have to play, West Virginia, their schedule. You know, they week in and week out, they're playing people that if they play poorly, if they don't play very good, if they play poorly, they're probably going to lose the game. And I think in the Big Ten, you can play poorly and sometimes win the game.
Yeah, you're right.
You agree with that?
That's a good point. That's a great point. Yeah, usually, I'm going to have to say, though, that Mississippi State didn't play well and they won the game Saturday, 17-10. They didn't play well because if they played well, it wouldn't have been 17-10. Because if they're the number one team in the country at home against a team with a sub-500 record and you only win 17-10, you didn't play well. There's no way you could have. Either you turned it over, you didn't get. I mean, something happened that you only won 17-10. Let's go. We've got some folks here. And then Dirk Chatlin is going to join us. We've got some emails, some tweets. Let's go to John. He says the SEC West will cannibalize each other, so just let it all shake out, which is what we've been saying, but this is what makes it fun. Sean fires in via Twitter. He says, Jimmy, the SEC is better, but not by much. You're saying the SEC teams are good because they beat other SEC teams. We kind of discussed and touched on that a little bit. Because when they're all ranked, when you got, what was it, six or seven of them at one time were in the top 15 or 20, it's hard to overlook them. It's hard to believe, though, how they get ranked in that top 20 because they don't play anybody in the non-conference portion of the season. Enough of these SEC teams have been good long enough that somebody has to survive. And right now you've got Auburn and the Mississippi schools and Alabama. I mean, they're all still there with a chance to win the SEC today.
I think, you know, I think the Big 12's good, but I think it hurt them that Auburn happened to go to Kansas State and win, and Alabama beat West Virginia. You look back at those two games, and, you know, you're saying, hey, there's a little. And same thing with Oregon beating Michigan State. I'm sorry the games are on the road or where they're played at, but when they actually play head-to-head and TCU beats Minnesota as bad as they did, you know, and Minnesota, you know, still has a chance to win that side of the conference, you know. Yeah. And they just beat them 30-7. I just think that when you look at games like that, I wish we could get that one Big Ten win that somebody stepped out of the conference and beat somebody. You know, I guess one of the big ones is Nebraska over Miami.
I think it's too bad you don't get more chances to play at the end of the season because, let's face it, even under Coach Pelini, and you can look at other teams, but even under Coach Pelini, generally every year Nebraska's playing way better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year. Are all these other teams doing the same? I don't know. We need to take a break. Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald is going to join us after this.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance Agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly cloudy. We cannot rule out some rain showers. We'll see temperatures falling throughout the day. Tonight, a slight chance of rain showers early, then gradually clearing skies, low of 31. For Tuesday, sunny with a high near 61. Currently, it's 64.
It's the remix to Ignition. Hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama rolling that body, got every man in here wishing. Sipping on coke and rum. I'm like, so what, I'm drunk. It's the freaking weekend, baby, I'm about to have me some fun.
Bounce, 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 bounce.
Now it's like murder, she rolled. Duck and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's Monday. That means it's time to put things away at the house. You're out, you're working, you're going to need some lunch, maybe catch up with some of your friends and co-workers. Why don't you do it over lunch at the Chicken Coop, downtown Grand Island. The Kearney Chicken Coop is the original sports bar and grill. Many say they're both, but they are the original. And the best of both places is the Kearney Chicken Coop. On Monday, come on in for lunch. Their steak sandwich, your choice of side, for $7.49. Then from 2 to 5.30, specials on appetizers, long necks, draws, and more. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds. Downtown Kearney, the Coop Koozie on Monday nights. You purchase the koozie for $5, and it's dollar cans all night long as you're watching maybe Monday Night Football or NBA or whatever it is you want to watch. Sit back, enjoy some Keno, enjoy lunch specials every day from 11 to 4, or anything off the menu. It's there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop. Steak sandwich, your choice aside, all there today. So good. Well, Dirk Chatlin is going to be joining us here in just a moment on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's take a look at how we did in Pigskin Pick'em. It looks like Kelly wins the tiebreaker. If Amir stays in, we score more points, right, Jimmy? We win the tiebreaker.
Yeah, that's one thing about Nebraska. They had to play that game without a running back, and it wasn't like they knew he wasn't going to be playing. You know, if they know on Tuesday he's not going to play, you can prepare for that a little bit, and your play selection will be a little different. So I will give, you know, that was a big win for a team that would lose a guy that's going to maybe get 2,000 yards rushing.
I should have took Air Force. Dang it. And then Maryland. Well, that was the key. Maryland kind of cooked our goose. Probably they won a one-point game, and Kelly had them. And Georgia Tech, I had Penn State and Virginia. We both went 6-4. He was closer on the tiebreaker. Jimmy was 4-6. And for the year, you and me, Jimmy, exactly the same. Both have 52 wins, yeah. Which isn't very good compared to everybody else that's been.
This has not been a good. This would be a good year for them to be given $20 a week instead of 10, because they'd be giving a lot of money away because we're not holding it together very good.
So we'll restart the Cunningham's Cash Vault on Friday. Another chance for you to take it to us in Pigskin Pick'em. Let's go to the Twitter at ESPN 1460 1550. Sean says, guys, I really felt like Saturday looked like one of those games that we've unexpectedly lost over the last few years, but this year we found a way to win it. Found a way. Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug and Jim Langan. And Dirk, good morning. What'd you think? Was that a game in the past years we might have dropped?
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I think there's a couple factors that are, working in Nebraska's favor this year. Even though they turned the ball over a couple times the other day, you know, they don't seem to have the same potential for, you know, a 4 or 5 turnover game that they did here in the past few years. And then the defense is just better. You know, you're not gonna lose to teams like Purdue and Rutgers when you have a good defense, because, you know, the problem was, you know, you go back through the last few years with the sole exception of maybe Iowa State. You know, when Nebraska would lose a game, you know, the defense played pretty poorly, and or when Nebraska lost to a team that it shouldn't, the defense played pretty poorly. And I think there's a little bit more trust, you know, a little bit more trust in this defense, that these guys are not just going to go out and get gashed for, you know, 6 or 7 yards a carry like some of these recent defenses have. So I think when you have a good front four, you kind of, you know, you increase your margin of error a little bit. And Nebraska has a really good front four, and I think, you know, that provides some insurance against an upset.
Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I get and a lot of the analysts that we've had coming up to last week kind of like Nebraska. They keep saying most talent should win the West, even with the schedule. I don't get that's your sentiment right now, especially from looking at Mad Chatter this morning.
Well, no, I think Nebraska is the best team in the West, and I think that, you know, I think they should win it. But anybody who says they know really what Nebraska is at this point, I think is getting ahead of themselves a little bit, because the schedule's been so bad. I mean, so bad that it's really hard to tell at this point. I mean, Nebraska has not, you know, I threw it out there the other night. What's the second best team Nebraska's beaten this year? You know, assuming that Miami is number one. And you know, I would pose the same question to you guys. I mean, the answer that I was getting was, you know, some said Northwestern, some said, you know, a few said McNeese State. You know, there's just Nebraska hasn't beaten anybody outside of Miami. And that game, you know, was pretty tight into the fourth quarter. So I think we're going to learn a lot about this team here in the next few weeks. Frankly, I don't think we know a whole lot right now. It's just the Big Ten schedule has been so soft here the first 5 or 6 weeks, aside from Michigan State, which was sort of a weird game in itself. You know, on one hand, it was a blowout. On the other hand, Nebraska could have easily won it with one more play. So I don't feel like I have a real good grasp on this Nebraska team. I feel like I know the defense pretty well. You know, again, that front four is as good as anybody's in the conference. But the offense has been real up and down. And I think, you know, the linebackers and DBs have something to prove too these next 4 weeks.
Hey, Jim Langan here. I agree with you totally. Doug and I kind of had a discussion about this. It kind of twisted into some other things. But I was trying to say that, you know, for an upset to occur and for you to play poorly, Purdue almost needed to be the home football team. It was going to be really hard for Purdue to come into Lincoln and have some things that happen and still be able to pull the upset off. I mean, I think sometimes you have to play those games at home, and then maybe you have a little crowd behind you and you got a little momentum, but it was just going to be really hard for them to do that. And basically, when you looked at our schedule, there was just four games that I saw at the very beginning of the year that were going to give Nebraska trouble, and they were all on the road. You know, yep. It was at Northwestern, and it was at Wisconsin, and it was at Iowa, and it was the Michigan State game we lost. And I thought we could beat Miami at home. Miami's maybe a little bit better than I thought they were going to be. You know, I thought they had a cape. Miami, I thought, maybe would even struggle more in the ACC, and they've kind of gotten a little bit better this season went on. But what's your take about the game being on the home field? Because it seems like in the Big Ten right now, nobody's going on the road and beating anybody good.
Well, I just find that the most of the, you know, the critical Big Ten games are still coming. You know, Michigan State, Ohio State is coming this weekend, and you know, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, Iowa. Those games are still all ahead. So I don't feel like the Big Ten has really played much. I don't feel like we know a whole lot about the league yet. I mean, we obviously know that Michigan State, Nebraska, and Ohio State are have looked the best so far, and I think have the highest ceilings. But there's just been I hate to be such a downer, but there's just been a lot of bad football games this first month of the conference season. You know, with the exception of Nebraska, Michigan State, and maybe Ohio State, Penn State, you know, what really gets you excited about the league so far? So I think the Big Ten needs to finish strong. And, you know, it should be more interesting in the next month than it was in the last month. But I just, you know, I hate to repeat myself, but Nebraska's 8-1, and I really don't feel like I have a real good grasp on whether this is a 2010-type team, which I thought was, you know, right on the cusp of being a top-10 team, or whether this is a 2012 or 2013-type team, which was, you know, barely a top 25 team. So we're going to find out, but, you know, Nebraska just hasn't been tested to the point where we know a whole lot about them yet.
Dirk Chatlin, Omaha World Herald, chatting with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Dirk, have we learned any more through your sources about Amir Abdullah's injury?
No, I haven't heard anything since Saturday night. So, you know, I'd be shocked if he's not, you know, if he's not on the field at Wisconsin and at least tries to make a go of it. You know, obviously he's probably a little bit more reliant on the D than some other running backs out there who are not quite as shifty. But you know, I think that the off week is very helpful, and you know, knowing Abdullah and kind of the importance of this football game, I'd be real surprised if he doesn't at least try to make a go of it.
This comes from the Dead Popper inbox here. We'll throw this, and I guess it's more of a comment, and then we'll see what you have to say, Dirk. Mark says, I'm not a big basher of Beck or the offensive coordinators, but I think it's pretty evident that Amir is an eraser when it comes to covering for Beck in our offense. Armstrong continues to struggle when asked to carry the offense, and we looked awful when Michigan State took Amir out, and when he got hurt, we go into a tailspin. Your thoughts if Amir's not there?
Yeah, it's a pretty good analysis. I mean, it's, you know, and I would extend that a little bit to even Kenny Bell. I mean, you know, when Kenny Bell didn't play against McNeese State and against Michigan State, you know, the offense really struggled. So it's, you know, the offensive line needs to be a little bit better, not just in getting the ball from the center to the quarterback, but, you know, needs to be a little bit more consistent. I think you're going to see the offensive line really tested at Wisconsin. You know, when the offensive line played as well as it did against Miami, that was maybe the biggest point of hope all year that I saw was, you know, holy cow, Nebraska might really have something with this running game. In the past month, you know, the running game's kind of has gone backwards a little bit. You know, they couldn't run it against Michigan State. They haven't been as consistent, you know, the past few weeks, even when they've played well. Tim Beck has gone away from it a little bit. Some of that, I realize, is probably to, you know, to get some things on film and to try to get Tommy Armstrong some reps. But, you know, I think Nebraska to win out, to, you know, to finish undefeated here in the Big Ten West, they're going to have to get that running game going again, and it's going to have to be the type of thing that they can really lean on in a road game, because I'm not quite sure Armstrong is to the point where he can just play pitch and catch with receivers.
Yeah, you know, the decisions that it seems to me, I think he made a great point, too, about the decisions that he's got to make, the quarterback has to make. And, you know, by giving the ball to Abdullah or throwing a screen pass to him, it takes the decisions right out of it. It's all the decisions he has to make, because it looks to me like he throws the ball deep when maybe we should be throwing the ball for an 8-yard pass play across the middle. He's just not I guess what I'm disappointed in is it seems like he doesn't go to a second and third receivers very well. Your thoughts?
I would agree with that. I think, you know, one thing that Nebraska used a little bit against Rutgers, which I think they could use a lot more going forward, is, you know, is using the running backs in the passing game, specifically Abdullah. You know, that is a nightmare matchup for a linebacker or a safety, you know, trying to cover Abdullah out of the backfield. I think that could be something that Nebraska leans on. You know, this team is really missing a tight end right now. I mean, they could really use somebody that could, you know, take advantage of the middle of the field a little bit. And, you know, I would agree with Armstrong. I mean, I think he's just got he's got a ways to go as a precision passer. You know, he's just not, he doesn't make the right reads all the time. I think the coaches would be the first ones to say that. And, you know, sometimes I think he tries to do a little bit too much. So it's, you know, he's going to have to grow up a little bit here in the next few weeks. But again, I think the running game, if Nebraska can get that running game going, it takes a lot of pressure off of Tommy Armstrong, too.
A couple more observations here in the last minute with Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World Herald. You can also catch him weekly on the Bottom Line online from the World Herald with Michael Sevier. Nebraska goes into the bye week, which is going to be good for Amir. I don't know about the rest of things, but there were some positives. The punt block game, I kind of thought Purdue was going to have a good, it looked like they had a good punt game, and Nebraska really turned the tables on that. And then something that people won't see because they're not in the room and it's not videoed, and when we're at the press conference, Dirk, we can't be in, you know, three places at once, but Westerkamp comes out very short amount of time away from the podium, takes responsibility for the two interceptions, saying, hey, I ran the wrong route, I was supposed to do this and I didn't. And then right after that, we can go back into the main room. Tommy Armstrong is standing up there taking responsibility as a sophomore quarterback for those interceptions, saying, hey, even if so-and-so happened, even if it was a bad snap, I got to handle it. I can't fumble the ball. I've got to make the right reads. And then when Tommy comes down from speaking, I think this shows a little bit of maturity. Who's the two guys that are walking out together, leaving the facility together? Tommy Armstrong and Jordan Westerkamp.
Yeah, no, I think there's a pretty good culture of leadership and accountability with, you know, that I think Abdullah has a lot to do with. You know, he's real no-nonsense. You know, I think he kind of shows those guys how to do it. And, you know, we've been talking about it since January, but when you've got a senior like that who just kind of, you know, establishes a pattern of behavior or a pattern of leadership for everybody else, I think it just kind of filters down. And Nebraska's lacked that the last couple of years at times. I think they're better in that way this year. Will it turn into wins in November in an 11-1 season? I don't know, but I think it does help in some intangible ways. Your comment about the special teams, well, you go back and look at just about every game this year. Just about every game, there was a big special teams play. You know, whether it was a punt block or a big kickoff return against Rutgers, or, you know, punt returns for touchdowns. Nebraska is sort of proving that you can make football a lot easier if you can win the special teams battle. And they've proved the last couple of years how hard it is to win games sometimes when you're getting killed in special teams. They're cleaning up, you know, especially in that punt return game this year. So I think it's a big change, and you know, it's a sign that they're paying a little bit more attention to the little things.
Well, it looks like Nebraska's found a gem in Pearson L, looking like when Kenny Bell and Amir played, obviously different position, but back in their freshman days, getting a chance to contribute early on. Last football question, Dirk. We go into the bye week. You've talked about it, not knowing what to expect. There's no doubt that if Nebraska loses to Wisconsin, it's on the board that the next two games, with maybe not a chance to get to Indianapolis, wheels could come off. They beat Wisconsin on the road. It's their biggest win of the season, and they've got a chance to get to Indianapolis, and the talk would still be there, although I don't think it would happen. The talk would still be there of making the Final Four. There is a big Grand Canyon in between the way this season could end.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. You know, it's Nebraska has had a few of these games the last few years, you know, these divisional games that have kind of been do-or-die games. A few of them have gone against them. A few of them have gone for them. This is right up there with, you know, some of the biggest ones they've had over the last 4 or 5 years when it comes to, you know, what it means to postseason goals. Because if Nebraska, you know, if Nebraska loses, they're at two losses in the Big Ten, and they're going to need a lot of help. You know, they're going to need Wisconsin to probably lose two games, barring a very interesting tiebreaker. So I think it's I don't expect the season to fall apart. I don't think, you know, Minnesota's going to come into Lincoln and beat Nebraska no matter what the circumstances are. But if you want to get over the hump and, you know, kind of make a statement that this program's heading in the right direction, I really think you need to win this game at Wisconsin. It's going to be a long November if they don't get it done.
And you have a pretty good gig. You can break up the football monotony by covering the World Series. Did you have fun?
Yeah, you know, that was pretty unexected. We had a new baby a month ago today, and since then I've made 4 trips to Kansas City for playoffs. And you know, I don't think my wife's too crazy about that, but I had a lot of fun.
Well, hey, did want to mention congratulations on being a father, and get some sleep, man.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys.
See you in a couple weeks, Dirk. Dirk Chatelain, Omaha World Herald, with a perspective of Nebraska football, and sometimes a perspective that's different than what the Husker Kool-Aid drinkers want to have.
Yeah, I think he's honest, Doug. I thought you made a great point about the Grand Canyon, about how this season, that's a great point. We haven't even talked about that, though, about how this whole season is just so many things. This, we could be not ranked in the top 25, or like you said, we could be in this big 14 playoff. It's still a possibility, and this Wisconsin game is so key. The thing I thought was interesting is we talk about cohesiveness and how the group's cohesive, and I really appreciate that you brought that up, because it made me think about a little bit that the whole team is cohesive except for one area, and that's the offensive line. And sometimes last year, Bo Pelini was upset and after we got beat by Iowa because he thought, hey, you know, the media is not helping us with this cohesiveness. You know, you've really hurt our football team by making comments and saying things and doing things. And they kind of did that with the offensive line. There's trying to be some controversy stirred up with the offensive line. And that does hurt the cohesiveness of your football team. Because, you know, this guy now, instead of going, hey, I'm first team, you're second team, hey, let's win this thing together. You know, it's kind of like, hey, you should be starting. How do you feel that? We got the wrong center in there. We got the wrong tackle. That's the one area where I can feel that the cohesiveness, and I don't know how the football players feel about it, but I do know that there is a lot of controversy about who should be playing and how come the snaps are off so bad and who's centering the ball to them and this should never happen. And so that's an area where we got to get that cohesiveness back.
100 to 110 other programs in the country obviously don't have a fan base that pays attention and cares or complains or praises as much as Nebraska fans do. But again, it was just interesting. The things you see at the whenever, but at the press conference, I know there's been over the years at least three or four times, and that caught my attention. Normally, you wouldn't see Armstrong and Westerkamp walk by. As I say, there's two areas of the press. There's what you'll see when you watch Huskers.com, the video or any of the television interviews, the guys up front in front of the banner. And then out in the secondary room, they bring in a variety of players, and that's where Tim Beck and John Papuchis and sometimes Ron Brown will speak, and you'll get a few quotes from them there. And very rarely will the players then walk by. There's like four ways to get out of there, and it just depends. But they're walking north over that overpass, the enclosed overpass, like to the practice field and out to the parking lot where they usually park. But usually that's not the way they come out. But to see Tommy and Jordan, just those two, walk through, and you could just kind of tell Armstrong was kind of ticked off with maybe not necessarily just the game, but going through the mini press conference and going, you know, these guys don't just throw us under the bus. You could just tell Jordan and Tommy were fine. They were going to be okay. But they kind of knew that a big deal was being made of winning by 21 points. So there you go. Wisconsin, we'll see how it happens. It's been announced that it won't be a night game, okay? That's what we've got so far. The television networks get to choose, and they're going to wait till Sunday to decide if Nebraska is at 11 a.m. or at 2:30 at Wisconsin. That information will be coming out either very late Saturday night or on Sunday. Dave Colling is going to join us to talk a little Kearney Catholic football when we talk Big Red football. We also talk T&L Irrigation, where they're offering their harvest special, $5 per foot discount. You can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile-long T&L pivot system. You'll get decades of reliability with the T&L pivot system and their hydrostatic design. They have grown throughout the last 60-plus years, not only throughout our area and the United States, but worldwide. If it's working worldwide, it can work in your field as well. Get the best, get the most productivity with T&L. And right now, their $5 per foot harvest special discount. Call T&L or your local T&L dealer today.
It's third down and six, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it. To the 15, cutting inside to the 10, 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Opening soon, NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of our newest rental store at 2608 32nd Street, Suite C. Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact us for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT. Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Visit the Kroll Agency in Kennesaw, Hastings, Minden, and Roseland today.
Plan now to attend the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce 37th Annual Farmers and Ranchers Appreciation Barbecue on Thursday, November 13th at the Adams County Fairgrounds in Hastings. A delicious meal will be served at 6 p.m. and then you'll enjoy entertainment featuring magician-comedian Chase Hasty. For ticket information, call the Hastings Chamber at 461-8400. That's 461-8400. Or visit hastingschamber.com for a list of sponsor locations to pick up your tickets today.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, where it is the final day, November 3rd. We've been telling you about all of the great events that are going on at the Midway Auto Dealerships. Chevrolet is finishing out their month with Chevy Truck Month. And don't forget that Chrysler Great American Drive event, Ram Fall Truck Month event, Jeep Celebration. It's all winding down today. How about the Dodge Big Finish? 0% APR for 72 months through today. So be sure to act fast. Head on out to your Midway Auto Dealership. It's a beautiful day out there. We may not have the sun shining, but it's not cold. Go out, see them on this Monday. They're ready to make deals. You know how it is on the last day of a sale. They want to make sure that you get not only the hassle-free price, but all the cash allowance, all the financing, everything that can go for you. It's award-winning 2014, 2015 vehicles right now at your Midway Auto Dealership. Don't miss out because it's all coming to an end today. Ram Fall Truck Month, the Chrysler Great American Drive event, Jeep Celebration, Dodge's Big Finish. They've each got something special for you. Whatever the vehicle it is you want, check it out at thinkmidway.com and then stop out today to your Midway Auto Dealerships. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Don't forget that the sub-district volleyball tournaments get underway in classes C and D tonight. And on live on Classic Hits 98.9, Kearney Catholic will be taking on Cozad at 4:30. Minden and Gothenburg will follow that at approximately 5:45, and then the final up at Kearney High. And then that always brings us to a dilemma because Kearney Catholic football coach Dave Colling's daughter will be playing tonight. Did you practice this morning, Coach?
We did not, Doug. We'll do a little film tonight and then go from there.
Well, obviously you guys are coming off maybe the most exciting football game in the first round in A, B, or C this past week. Has your heart slowed down a little bit?
Yeah, I took my blood pressure medicine and I'm back to normal now. No, that was quite a finish Friday night, so just glad we came out on top.
Hey, I watched the game, the last couple of players. I got to see it, you know, and not live, but I'll tell you what, it was very exciting. And, you know, there's so many plays, like you say, hey, if this kid drops this ball or there's maybe an offensive pass interference there late that wasn't called. There were just so many things. But what an exciting finish to the football game. Your running back, actually, you know, they let him score, but he kind of caught presence and took off and ran sideways for about 5 or 6 seconds. And, you know, it looked like half the people were telling him to score and the other half were telling him to take a knee. So, yeah, there was a lot of people that understood the strategy. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, heavens, yes. And, you know, like, he definitely couldn't hear us yelling. But, you know, with the time left on the clock, you know, had he taken a knee at the 5 or something like that, their coach had instructed their kids to pull him into the end zone. And so, you know, if he stopped on the 1, he probably would have been drug into the end zone anyway. But yeah, you know, that's, you know, their shot at getting the win, you know, kind of came down to that. If we score real quick like that, you know, they got to go for 2 and things got to happen for them. And it did. And you know, didn't rep that in practice. And, you know, even talking to the officials, you know, all of them said, shoot, we haven't seen that ever. And talking to their coach, and, you know, he's been coaching for about 20 years and, and he said, we've never ran that, you know, and I haven't seen it. But anyway, so, you know, things happened for them down the stretch and put it into overtime. And, you know, great call on their part. And, you know, like I said, Bryce did think about it for a second there and then went into the end zone. But, you know, hey, that's what he's, you know, we told him to get into the end zone whenever he can normally. So, you know, why wouldn't he do it there?
Speed, physical, hard football game. You guys got banged around a little bit once again and you had to move some people around.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, we knew it was going to be physical. I mean, they got athletes you know, as you saw, they got athletes everywhere, and so very, very physical football game. And we got Brady didn't play the second half, so we had to move some guys in. Grant Bushcutter, I thought, did a great job, you know, filling in for him. And the guys just, you know, we talked about playing as a team all week long, and I thought we did a great job of doing that. Very proud of the boys. Like you alluded to, the emotion swings during that game were quite, you know, frequent. And for our boys to rally and come together as a team, very proud of their effort.
You have had an opportunity to make a lot of field goals, whichever kicker you use this year, and a lot of them have been from close range. Have you guys struggled a little bit in the red zone more than you thought you would?
You know, I don't. You know, Doug, I'd like to say, you know, sometimes we inflict the, you know, we do it to ourselves. You know, sometimes we're sitting at, you know, first and 10, you know, on the 12-yard line, and we end up at, you know, first and 15 or something like that. So some of it we do ourselves. But, you know, like I said, we do have two good kickers, and that was the difference Friday night, you know, our extra points, and it was the difference Friday night. So I think our special teams do a great job. But, you know, yeah, I'd like to, you know, we'd sure like to, not do some of that stuff and then find the end zone more often than not.
Talking with Dave Colling, head football coach at Kearney Catholic, a 27-26 overtime win against Boys Town sends them to Columbus SCOTUS for a matinee game, 3 in the afternoon on Friday. What's your early scouting report on them?
You know, they're good. They'll be physical. It'll be very physical Friday also. They're pretty good up front. They got a running back that's pretty physical. We're going to see Northeast Nebraska power football is what we're going to see. And we got a pretty good, big line also. So it's going to be physical in the trenches football. And, you know, we got to win the battle of the trenches and do the things we do well. And if we can't get a victory Friday night.
Is there any chance that Nathan Howe will be back?
You know, we'll know later in the week. Right now I can't tell you because I don't know, if Nathan decided Nathan would be playing, but unfortunately Nathan's not deciding, and doctor's going to look at him and give us a decision here, you know, midweek, and Brady the same way. We don't know if we have Brady this Friday. He's got to go through the protocol and all that kind of stuff, I guess we'll know midweek on both those guys.
Of course, Brady Holtmeyer suffering concussion. That's what the coach is talking about, going through what they now have is a mandated protocol that everybody can abide by and see if things are ready to go. I want to go back because it was a freakish ending to this Boys Town game. We touched on it a little bit as the bell sounds. Coach, what was it like on the sideline after you knew they let you score and Boys Town was able to make that last drive and tie things up? Then you get into overtime, and it looks like maybe there's an interception for a moment there. You think your season's over. Just take me through their drive and then how overtime went.
You know, I think the crucial part of overtime, you know, when they scored, you know, our kids knew we had the ball again, but their missed extra point was huge in our – in the eyes of the kids, just looking at their demeanor, knowing that, hey, all we got to do is score and kick a PAT and it's ours. So that was a huge, huge part of overtime. The interception, you know, thankfully the officials got it right and the kid didn't have the ball. So for a split second there, the kids thought he did pick it off. So you saw some kids on their knees and so forth. But like I said, the extra point they missed was a big boost for our kids.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to work there, and we'll talk again later this week. Get ready for Friday's game, which, of course, we'll have on our network of stations. Afternoon game here.
Hey, perfect. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Colling, Kearney Catholic Stars, 9-1. Same record for Columbus SCOTUS as they get ready for this weekend's game.
Yeah, he was talking about he'd never seen that before. The last time it happened that I remember in the area was Amherst played Maxwell. I don't know if you guys were doing that game or not, but I think that score was 19-18. Amherst and Maxwell let Amherst score, but about 40 seconds to go, they went in and scored and missed the extra point. So now it's 25-18, and Maxwell scores with about 12 seconds to go. Makes it 25-24 and goes for two, and they hold him. But it was the same type of situation. But that's the last time I remember it. But, yeah, basically it's a couple. It's a move before a chess match. You know, three plays before, and you're thinking about, hey, here's what we the best only chance we got, because if you're out of timeouts, they get in victory formation, and there it goes, yeah.
Well, with the time left, Kearney Catholic probably wouldn't have been able to run out the clock, but they would have been able to run it down under a minute and then
try to score, and then if you're Boys Town, then you're trying not to let them score. It's interesting philosophy, because had they not scored there on first down, Kearney Catholic would have realized what was going on, because it's you're caught totally off guard. You're not expecting what just happened, so you can't prepare for it. Then you take a knee, and then you probably try and go for it on fourth down, or kick the field goal to make it a two-possession, or at least a touchdown to beat you. But that's how it worked out. It worked out for the Stars. It was a little exciting there at the end. Here are your playoff times for our area teams. Class A, Kearney will host Omaha North at Foster Field Friday at 7. Grand Island will host Millard West Friday at 7 at Memorial. Before that in Grand Island, Central Catholic also plays on that field, so it's a 2 o'clock game against number 1 Ashland Greenwood. And so a 2 o'clock and then a 7 o'clock over Memorial in Grand Island. Then at 3 o'clock, Kearney Catholic's at Columbus SCOTUS. At 5 o'clock, Shadron will play at Cozad. At 6 o'clock, Norfolk Catholic is in Albion to play Boone Central Newman Grove. The C2 kickoff times, Freeman at Hardington Cedar Catholic at 5, Oakland Craig at North Platte St. Pat's at 5:30, Aquinas at Hastings St. Cecilia, and Archbishop Bergen at Battle Creek will both kick off at 7 o'clock. And we will have coverage of that on 1230 KHAS. So those are your football brackets going forward. Of course, Class D, we've got a lot of that coming your way on a Wednesday as well. We'll take another break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Be right back.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a winter checkup. Winter driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the cold weather. Tice Auto Care can check your brakes, hoses, and fluids so that you're ready for the tough winter driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your winter vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, as we take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Which is more likely to happen next year? We asked you over the weekend. Joe Maddon leads the Cubs to the playoffs. He'll be officially introduced here this afternoon. Or Ned Yost leads the Royals back to the World Series. Obviously, both long shots, but we voted with the public. 61% say the Royals back to the World Series ahead of the Cubs to the playoffs. Today at ESPNSuperstation.com, our Midtown Mart cooler question is, which local eight-man team has the best chance to make it to Lincoln of the teams that remain in the round of 16? 16 who has the best chance of making it to Lincoln. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Jimmy, the Breeders' Cup Classic had a, and not, you know, even for, I didn't even get to see it. I mean, there's just, you're watching the Husker game. There's too much going on. Even though it's after the Husker game, there's college football. I wasn't in a spot to see it. But it was a weird deal for the biggest race of the weekend.
Well, a lot of races. There was a horse that went off at 65-1, Doug, and wired it. And we talked about that on the show. If you could figure out who's going to get the lead, you had a tremendous advantage. And at the very start of the race, Byron kind of came over about a half step and bumped into a horse, and then it caused the four, who was supposed to go out with the seven and get the lead, and they were going to hook horns. Well, the seven gets out by himself. Well, here comes California Chrome and something of New York, and they couldn't go by him. No one could go by a horse in the stretch Harley at all on the dirt. I mean, all day long, whoever got the lead turning for home was going to held on the dirt. Now, not on the turf every time, but on the dirt. And that horse ended up getting the lead. And, you know, they had a little inquiry. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah,
an inquiry about whether he – and he did. He came over a step at the start, but usually they don't take down a horse. You know, whatever they do at the start, usually you get a step and then try to straighten things out right away. But it did definitely bang the four horse who couldn't get out with the seven. Who were those two were supposed to would set up the whole race for the seven then, yeah.
Your picks. You were 1-0 on your favorites.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what.
You had UCLA. That was good. The only favorite that you picked all weekend was solid. 1-0.
But they
3-7.
Yeah, they had to come from behind to do it. It wasn't even a solid. The only pick that was good was whoever played Texas A&M. They actually almost won the game and they got 35 points.
Yeah, you had Louisiana Monroe.
They almost won the football game. Yeah.
Yeah. Some other ones to remain nameless, but. You were doing so well.
Well, like I said,
I think you were focused too much on the horses this weekend.
All I did was get on that website and give those first six games.
So the public was happy.
Yeah, I just said, here's the way the public goes in the first six games. So my selections, I went 1-3 in my own selections, and I went just gave those other games out.
I did have a buddy hit the try in the classic, though.
Did you really?
Kind of waiting for the text to see if he's taking us to lunch today.
What did something like that pay?
$1,000 plus for the dollar.
For a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the horse that ran second was tough to get.
Yeah, Taste of New York was, what, 18-1 or something?
Yeah, and the thing of it is those other two horses you knew could run at California. That was a lot of the talk was the horses that ran first, third, and fourth all could run in California and had been at Santa Anita's racetrack plenty of times. All the other ones were invaders.
We've touched on most of the notes that I'd wrote down. The ending of the Ole Miss game, tragic broken leg, fumble it, lose the game to Auburn. But the broken leg is the deal there. I wrote it down because we haven't talked about the NASCAR pillow fight that they had. And come on. Again, you want me to talk about this as a sport, really? Monday Night Football tonight, Colts-Giants. And I'm tired of listening sometimes to people. Yesterday, I'm getting ready, stay in Lincoln, coming back from Lincoln on Sunday, getting my stuff together, last thing I'm doing, getting everything packed up, finishing up, getting in your fantasy football stuff so you can hit the road, watching the highlight show, watching everything that's going on, take you to Foxborough. Oh, it's snowing, it's cold, and the wind's going to blow 40 miles an hour. Well, hell, I better take Tom Brady out of my fantasy lineup and put him on the bench and replace him with Colin Kaepernick, who's at home against St. Louis in the warm sunshine.
Did you switch him or did you keep him?
Oh, no, I switched him and lost. Had I not switched him, I'd have won easily. There you go. Yeah, shocking that would happen. Shocking. Of course, as I played Colin Kaepernick, the two quarterbacks on my bench, Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger.
Both had.
I mean, nobody's believing in Ben. He's still a backup bye week fill-in, but I know everybody else probably has some kind of a story out there, but that's my.
You know, the Steelers have gotten better, haven't they? There for a while, they were not playing very well.
No,
that was a team that is. You know, of course, you got 16 weeks. You know, players are going to get better, and wouldn't that be nice if Nebraska could beat Wisconsin, though?
Brandon Whedon stinks, by the way. Amir Abdullah, he is one of the 20 semifinalists for the Maxwell Award announced this morning, goes to the best player in college football. Randy Gregory, one of the 20 semifinalists for the Chuck Mednarik Award, goes to the best defensive football player. They will whittle that down to the final three and announce it on Monday, November the 24th. We talked about UNK falling to Fort Hays State 24-17. Hastings College fell to Northwestern of Iowa, the eighth-ranked team in the country, 21-7. We'll chat with the coaches, Tony Harper, Daryl Morris, on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show. We already told you about state football, volleyball. The Huskers won two over the weekend. UNK split their matches. They just can't find a way to beat Central Missouri. And they have four games to go, all on the road, starting with a pair this weekend. Hastings College, a winner over Mount Marty in straight sets. They will have their final game of the regular season at home Wednesday against Doan, and then the conference tournament begins Saturday. UNK Soccer upset yesterday, 1-0 by Emporia. That keeps them out of the MIAA tournament. Hastings College swept Mount Marty Saturday to wrap up the regular season. The Hastings men's and women's soccer teams, both the number one seed for the conference tournament. The women will take on Morningside tomorrow night at 7. The men will host Dakota Wesleyan Thursday at 6. In basketball, the Husker women, Wayne State, preseason number 6 in Division 2, but no match for the Huskers, 84-43. The Husker men have an exhibition game at home on Thursday. The women will have their final exhibition against Concordia St. Paul Sunday. Hastings men lost a couple of games to number 6 Bellevue, 86-71, and to York, 83-82. The 5th-ranked women clipped at 13th-ranked Southwestern of Kansas, 76-74. In wrestling, Nebraska's James Green and Robert Kokish both won their matches at the Coaches All-Star Classic in Philadelphia. And the wrestling poll has just come out this morning. Nebraska is number 7 in the country. Wyoming, who they deal on Friday, is 25th, and then they have the Wyoming Open over the weekend. Iowa's number 1, followed by Minnesota, Cornell, Ohio State, Penn State is 5th, Missouri, and then Nebraska plus Michigan out of the Big Ten, also rated. They are at number 9. The hockey team, not the weekend that they wanted, 0-1-1, going out to Madison, their home against Muskegon this weekend. And one final note, because I know you are interested, the Hastings College women's rodeo team won their first regional title up in North Dakota this weekend. The college national finals rodeo is right around the corner.
Did they fly or did they take vans? And
I'm guessing trucks and horse trailers.
Trucks and
horse trailers. That's the way I see everybody travel to rodeo.
Trucks and horse trailers. Hey, kind of interesting, in Class C1, you were talking about, you know, Kearney Catholic, and they're winning by an extra point. Same thing with GICC. You know, they won in two overtimes, and they blocked an extra point and won 35-34. So,
and they had to come from behind. They had been behind pretty much.
They were down 21-7, yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of in both those things in Class C1 in their area.
Yeah, best of luck to those teams. We'll continue to talk about them, preview them, and get you ready for the quarterfinals on Friday. We do want to thank Kearney Catholic coach Dave Colling for joining us today. Also want to thank Dirk Chatlin of the Omaha World Herald. If you ever miss any part of the show, want to hear it, want to listen to it again, it's always up on the Cunningham's podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's up there about 5 minutes after the show's over because producer Jeff wheels it out there. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk with Mike Koski, Brad Wagner, former Little League coaches here in Kearney. Of course, tomorrow is Election Day, and there's an initiative on the ballot that we'll talk about to build new fields in Kearney. Daryl Morris, Tony Harper will join us as well tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, have a good week, man.
Yep, we'll see you Friday.
Folks, have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.